Before we get into the poll question and Max Pack, Jesse Morse, MD, sports medicine physician that covers the NFL injuries for injury experts, regenerative medicine of knee, shoulder, and hip injuries, tweeted 10 hours ago, as you are setting your waiver wires tonight, do not drop Rashee Rice.
No, do not drop him off your team. No. No.
And then maybe some other information you didn't know you needed. If you turn the Chicago Bulls logo over, it looks like a robot having its way with a crab. You can never unsee it.
Yeah,
so
it's true. I'll be
checking that out during the break.
All righty. We'll be doing that as well.
No, you can hop over to the Fan 965 on X, formerly known as Twitter. Check out our poll question today. That was quite simple. It just basically said, when you put these two together for duos, Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagans, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who will end with more playoff wins.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Bobby or Patrick and Travis have a 14 game lead as the Reagans.
Right.
Bobby Jr. Just started off there yesterday with one. So far, 132 votes, 75% say Patrick and Kelce.
That's stunning. That shows you have no faith in the Royals, because all you really need to do is go on a 2-year run. If you go on a run like 14 and 15, you're going to pass Patrick and Kelce in 2 years. You just are, because it takes 13 wins to win a world championship in baseball, right? So you've got one under your belt right now, 12 more to go. If the Royals were to win the World Series, they'd be like 4 games behind Mahomes and Kelce in total playoff wins, assuming that Mahomes and Kelce, you know, win the Super Bowl this year. That puts them at 18 with the week off and the bye and all that. That gives you 18 total playoff wins. If the Royals win the World Series this year, Bobby and Reagans will have 13. That puts you just 5. That's another round next year in the postseason. So I think when you start to think about wins in playoff wins, if you have faith in Bobby and Reagans of this being the beginning of a dynasty like I do, I think you got to take the baseball. I'm stunned that that poll is as skewed as it is.
Me too. I think it's a math question at that point too as well.
I think it's also people probably not reading it properly.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, or thinking properly about that.
Well,
right.
You see playoff wins and you see Mahomes and Kelce, you're like, oh, okay, Mahomes and Kelce.
Yeah, right.
So, well,
but you get 13 in one postseason. Exactly. If you win the World Series, you have won and come from the wild card, you have won 13 games to get to that point.
12 more. Let's go.
All right, Mac.
It's time for Max Pack.
Brioche, baby. Let's go. Top 5 teams that could hoist a Lombardi trophy headed into week 5 of the NFL season. We will start at number 1. I'm going to start at number 5 this week.
Okay.
The Bills.
Because you're an apologist for Josh Allen.
Yes.
Finally played a good team. How'd he look the other day?
Listen.
Yes. Derrick Henry was him.
He really was. Henry's Josh incredible. Allen did nothing to stop Derrick Henry.
You're right. I really need him to start tackling Derrick Henry more.
Hey, I mean, if you're going to be a team player, man, Mahomes out here making tackles.
Oh,
geez. Too soon. I hope the Bills don't see the Ravens in all seriousness in the playoffs. I guess I hope they do. If I'd like them to lose, I'd rather play the Ravens, I think, than the Bills in the playoffs. So I hope the Bills see Baltimore.
Beat all of them.
Because Buffalo can't beat Baltimore. The spine of that defense is weak. That's what the Ravens attack with their run game. The Bills will not be able to stop the Ravens. It doesn't matter if it's week 4 or week 17, week 18. Lions at number 4. Listen, they can run on anyone with the ability for the big plays through the air as well. Something that the Ravens, I think, lack. We'll talk about them in a little bit more. But they're 4 right now on this list because of where we're at this season.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in my heart, they're number 2 right now.
Well, okay, so first of all, how much has changed in your mind with Jared Goff being perfect the other night and them wearing those black uniforms?
Gosh, those black uniforms. It was the
helmet for me.
Oh, gosh. The helmet was great,
the
right?
The black lion with like the shimmery blue. I was like, dude.
Oh, my God. Those are just sexy uniforms.
Flacco so looks 10 years younger in those things.
How awesome were those things, right?
Like, amazing.
So somebody was complaining on X, formerly Twitter, obviously, right? And the one thing that I didn't know about those uniforms, those are actually throwbacks. They wore those in like the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Ahead of their time.
Yeah. Seriously. They wore that was an actual throwback. And I'm like, I had no idea. I heard them talking about it. I'm like, that's an amazing uniform. They should wear that all the time. I love Dan Campbell, and I've been on Jared Goff for the last couple of years now. I think he's one of those underrated guys. He is this generation's Aaron Rodgers to me, where you could ask Josh all the time. We would talk about great quarterbacks, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers. I always forget about Aaron Rodgers. I think people are always forgetting about Jared Goff right now.
I think Goff's really good. He's got a top five O-line. They've got great weapons, top five running back duo, and that defense actually is pretty solid with, you know, you mentioned him yesterday, Dusty. Aiden Hutchinson, he's creeping up that DPOI ranking. So
no doubt.
Lions at number four there. Ravens at three. Again, they can run on anyone, but again, I don't feel that they have that explosive passing game that the Lions have the ability to kind of uncork. So I'm looking for that a little bit from, you know, Zay Flowers, get Andrews and Likely back in. It feels like we haven't heard Likely's name since week one about that big toe. So I'm waiting for them to kind of get that passing game, but still, this team's elite and that defense is good. I think they've still taken a step back, but I'm keeping them at number three right now. I trust the Ravens.
Okay.
Vikings at two. Defense is real. Kevin O'Connell's amazing. He's figured it out. I think he's an elite head coach. You know, we saw him elevate Kirk Cousins. We're seeing him do that and more with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he's been great.
It's been amazing. Yeah. I mean, statistically, he's even better than Kirk was. They just got Addison back. You can obviously see that's helping them in the passing game along with Justin Jefferson. And I just think, you know, they got a good defense. They blitz a lot. Brian Flores is aggressive. I just don't think the league is that strong. I think the Vikings know who they are, and they have an identity, and they're playing like it. So I'm going to have them at number two right now.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Sam Darnold.
No, they're undefeated. Yeah. They're the only other undefeated team in the NFL right now.
Exactly. And in a league, quarterback play is kind of weak.
Yeah. Who's your MVP, Josh Allen or Sam Darnold?
Well, I think Sam Darnold.
Right now,
he's undefeated.
It has to be Sam Darnold, but Josh is better. It's fine. Chiefs at one. Injuries mounting, but this team still has the best quarterback in the league, the best coach in the league, maybe the best offensive line in the league, a top five defense, and by far the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. Rashee Rice, hope you come back. Hope it's not an ACL tear, but this team can do it no matter what.
Aseel Terry, I think is how you say it.
My fault.
Yes.
Aseel Terry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Comebacks.
I got my bottom feeders.
Yes.
Five teams that I think just suck.
How many are in the AFC West?
On the list? None this week. No, none. I don't have any AFC West foes in the list.
32 changed.
I don't know. I can't remember what I did last week. We're being honest here, right? Number 32 for me this week has to be the Miami Dolphins. They put on the worst display of anybody. It's like, you know, when Willie Mays Hayes says, I'm going to put on a hitting display, and he hits the knob of the bat and it falls down. That's the Miami Dolphins right now. Mm-hmm. They're Willie Mays Hayes in spring training trying to hit. Coming in at number 31 are the Tennessee Titans. I have them. I don't care what they do. They're not a very good football team, so they're coming in at number 31.
And that was Monday Night Football.
Least. Yeah, that was your Monday night. We had two of those games on Monday Night Football. Thank God we had that one.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 30, the Carolina Panthers are on that list. The Cleveland Browns come in at number 29. And the number 28, I think, is going to be a surprise for people. The Orioles, they suck.
Do you think Cleveland can get out of there if they let Jameis Winston play quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. You're only as good in football as your quarterback is. And I used to say that about college football, right?
Yeah.
Like, if in college back in the day, you found yourself a quarterback, you were going to win some football games.
No doubt. I
still think it's the same
way.
That's
why KU sucks.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's why when they were good with Todd Reesing, they had a quarterback. It's not that hard, right?
And Bean.
You find yourself a quarterback, you're going to have an opportunity to do well. And that's why the Chiefs are on top. They're on top because of Patrick Mahomes and whatnot. What was your question? Oh, if they get Jameis Winston.
Yeah, can they get out of that bottom?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they've been there now 2 or 3 weeks.
They stink, and they have a bad quarterback who's a horrible human. So, I don't know. It's kind of where I look at it. Like, Deshaun Watson is...
cut and dry.
take the massage nonsense out, but you can't because that's who he is as a human being.
Yeah.
He's not a very good football player.
No, he's terrible.
Mahomes broke you.
God, he's awful.
He thought playing that guitar was cute in that playoff game until it wasn't.
Yeah.
Until the Chiefs ran out of fireworks.
How many people were on that Houston sideline that were broken in that game and never resurfaced? Like, I know Bill O'Brien's at Boston College right now, but that's a big fall from being the head coach in the NFL.
DeAndre Hopkins was never the same.
Never the same again. Winston was never the same again.
Winston? Watson?
Watson. I don't know why I said Winston. Winston Watson.
Winston's never going to be the same.
No, yeah.
I mean, it's tough, man. Like, that's what happens. You know?
Watson! Yes!
Sorry, I missed that earlier.
Happy birthday to our friend Gene Watson as well today, celebrating number 55.
Happy birthday to the Cole Reagan's birthday.
That's right. Yeah. Because of Gene, we got Cole.
And they're both 55.
That's right.
Number and age.
I think Gene's 50. I don't know.
Oh, well. He'll let you know if he's not. That's a quick always response. If you get the birthday age wrong, people are very quick to correct you.
Yeah.
You know what? 39, 37.
37.
Take it easy.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, I'm almost 48. And somebody goes, pause with this, almost 48. Your birthday's not until April. You're not even to your half birthday yet. I'm like, whoa, what are we, nine?
What? Half.
So, yeah, that comes this month. I'll expect gifts.
Some people will say the biggest play yesterday was the Bobby Witt Jr. single that knocked in Mikel Garcia. Some people would say Bobby Witt Jr. was the hero. No. Sometimes it's, yes, you got the run in. Mikel Garcia did his job. Mikel Garcia, unsung hero yesterday.
Unsung hero.
Remember we talked about that, guys? We said somebody's going to be an unsung hero in these playoffs.
Yeah.
Yesterday was Mikel Garcia.
Right.
Two walks.
He had a terrible September, too, and was brilliant yesterday.
And got on base, stole second. Perfect. Got to third. Bobby Witt Jr. base hit, scores a run. Mikel Garcia scored the run. Bobby Witt Jr. knocked him in. And then Cole Reagans had the biggest play of the game yesterday.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss. And he got him with a breaking ball down and away. And in five innings, Cole Reagans has not allowed a run. And he has pitched around a leadoff double. And in this inning, first and third and one out. And he picks up Melendez.
Big, big, big moment in that game yesterday.
I mean, that was the biggest pop outside of the RBI single, because runs are going to get you more excited than maybe a strikeout. But that was yesterday the moment where I was like, okay, Cole Reagans is that guy.
Right.
You know, the demeanor of Tom Glavine and the hose of Jacob DeGrom mixed together is Cole Reagans. Because left-handed pitcher kind of has that demeanor of Tom Glavine. Nothing's going to really bother him. Going to give up some, you know, hits, whatever. Gave up, had first and third, one out.
One out.
Strikeout, strikeout.
Gave off a leadoff double and allowed nothing. Like, how many times a leadoff double, you're like, oh, that's a guarantee run, right?
Like,
especially in the postseason, again, why aren't you bunting that guy over to third and hoping for a sack fly? Like, the manager of the Baltimore Orioles was as bad at managing a game as I've seen in a long time. Like,
since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Like as bad as Kyle Shanahan was. I mean, you could argue who was the worst coach, Kyle Shanahan taking the ball in overtime. And I think his name is Brandon Hyde in Baltimore as the manager, or that guy yesterday pitching to Bobby Witt, or having a runner on second when you know it's a low scoring game, not bunting that dude over and hoping for a sack fly or whatever. Like, there were so many moments in that game yesterday where you could directly pin on the manager. And one of those for me, and I think for all of us, is when they took Cole Reagans out of the game.
Yeah, you were very sour at the moment.
I was, because it was before we knew the calf injury happened. So put yourself in that framework of before knowing the calf injury what happened. What was your reaction? Because as soon as he took him out of the game, Spectre showed me a tweet from somebody that said, Kjosted. Q-U-O-S-T-E-D. Kjosted. And I was dying. I'm like, that's hysterical, right? Like, somebody came up with that. I was laughing, probably Ned's burner account and whatnot. But I was mad, because before we knew the injury of Cole Reagans and the sore calf, I'm like, here we go. This is what I was fearing. You're taking this guy out who's cruising along because analytics tells you to do so. And that wasn't the case. The injury popped up and we were all good. But in that moment, I think we were all mad that Cole Reagans was coming out of the game. Everybody was going, what are we doing here? He's only got 80 pitches. And then immediately it came out that it was a calf injury. But I think in the moment when we first saw it, I don't think there was a happy camper at Jefferson's yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we were just confused because he was dealing, right?
Yeah.
It was six innings, four hits, eight strikeouts, zero walks. And, zero earned. And you're like, oh, just let him go. I think he was only at 76 pitches.
I think he finished with 80 pitches,
pitches, something like that. And to me, it was, obviously you had to kind of like, and then all of a sudden they were showing Reagans on TV talking. And
they showed him. It looked like he was angry.
Like he was frustrated.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting next to Alex and he's like, it's a calf strain. So I'm like, all right, Bob, he's injured. You're like, okay. And then you got clarification at the end from Cotrero in the post-game interview, which we'll have Matt Cotrero here on at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. But I thought this was interesting because our boss sent us some topics that he liked, and I kind of piggybacked on a little bit of one of them, and I said I thought the interesting thing in the post-game interview were two things. One, Salvador Perez coming out to the mound with Lucas Hirsay in the ninth, being like, hey, man, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. Trust in me. Throw your pitches. Nothing's going to get by me. Know you're powerful. You'll be all right. I don't know if that's what he said, but I would assume it's something along those lines.
Or he looked at him and goes, throw an effing strike.
Yeah. Screw your curveball, Ricky. Throw in the heater.
Throw the heater.
And so that was a big moment. And then I thought it was also kind of undershadowed because it took me back to the beginning of the year. And Speck made a good point. Managers aren't important in 162 games.
10 games a year, anybody in baseball will tell you the manager affects a game.
Yeah.
10 out of 162.
And this is one of those moments yesterday where I thought the manager was important, because Cotrero said in his post game that Cole had walked by him and said something. He didn't quite hear it. And then he took him down to the tunnel. Cole Reagans took the manager down to the tunnel and said, hey, I've got cramps in my calf. I got to the last batter, but I could feel it for the last couple.
Right.
You got to get me out. I need to, I'm done. And not in so many words, but to say, I don't have 100% of myself out there anymore, and I want this team to win.
And that's amazing that he did that, because what if Cole Reagans goes back out there, gives up a four spot, right? And then after the game goes, yeah, I was pitching through a cramp, and we're all like, what? You know, like the reaction would have been completely different,
and
right?
And it's like, why didn't he trust his manager to know that he could have that conversation? Goes back to when Will Smith wasn't him.
Right.
Right after that Baltimore series, he goes into Cotrero's, office.
Week one.
And just goes, hey, Skip. It ain't me. I got to get something figured out. Let somebody else do this. And, we see the text line all the time. Q gets a lot of flack from, people wanting him to bunt, not play Adam Frazier, not do this. Mm-hmm. Look, that was Cotrero's first playoff win, and he managed that game as if he had been there multiple times as the head skipper in a dugout.
Hey, because you're never the head guy until you're the head guy, right? It's one thing to be a bench coach and offer your advice.
JJ, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like JJ all these years offering advice to Dayton. Now he's in that chair. Hey, there you go. Now you got to make those final decisions.
Right.
It's a lot different, when it's up to you. I mean, and I think we've all been in those spots before. It's easy to give advice. Okay, it's very easy. Somebody says, I got a problem. What do you think? You give them that advice. It's very difficult to take your own advice, right? You talk to friends all the time about stuff and say, hey, try this or try that. And then you look at yourself and you go, I'm not doing any of that myself. So why am I telling somebody else to do that? But it's always easier to give advice. So as a bench coach, a hitting coach, pitching coach, whatever it is, you have those conversations. But at the end of the day, you're like, this is your call, bro.
Yeah.
you get to make this decision. And in his first time of making these decisions, I thought Q was great yesterday. And I thought Brandon Hyde for the Baltimore Orioles was a colossal disaster. And I'll be listening to a little Baltimore radio just to kind of get a flavor of what they're saying and what they were saying yesterday and a little bit more today. If they're not crushing their manager for losing that game and blaming him, I don't know what else they're talking about in Baltimore yesterday, because that was a colossal F up by the manager of that team on two separate occasions, not bunting and moving a runner to third base with nobody out, and then allowing Bobby Witt to beat you. Like, did you just wake up from amnesia and say, who's this guy that's hitting? Oh, okay, we'll pitch to him with a runner on when we got a guy with a busted up finger who's done nothing today behind him with two outs. Like, that's a manager that blew a game for Baltimore yesterday.
No doubt about it.